Good morning. If you will be turning your Bibles to John chapter 10. That's going to be our main focus this morning. And I want to go back just for context and read a few verses from John chapter 9. Okay, John chapter 9 was about Jesus healing the blind man, and he not only healed him physically, but he healed him spiritually. He told him who he was, and the blind man believed. So he not only received his spiritual sight, his physical sight, he also received his spiritual sight. In verse 38, I'll just start. Then he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. That was the blind man. He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. And then in verse 39 it says, "And Jesus said, 'For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind.' Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, 'Are we blind also?' Jesus said to them, 'If you were blind, you would have no sin, but now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains.'" So that's where we finished up the last time that I was able to speak. And it's believed that this, he's still here and he's still talking to the Pharisees, scribes and Pharisees here in chapter 10. So this is like at the same time that we just read in verse 41, "If you were blind, you would have no sin, but now you say we see, therefore your sin remains." So we're going to pick up there and follow the story here. John chapter 10. Verse 1, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." That first song that we sang today, "Draw Me Near," it talks about, "I heard my name called." And we'll get more into that, but I'm so thankful that he called my name and I heard him. Verse 4, "And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Verse 6, "Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, 'Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly.'" Verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Verse 12, "But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore there was a division among the Jews because of these sayings, and many of them said, 'He has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him?' Others said, 'These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?'" Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the truth in it. We thank you for loving us so much that you would send your Son, our Lord and Savior, our Shepherd, to come and to guide us, and to give up his life for us on the cross so that we can be with you forever in heaven. We just praise you for him and thank you for him. Just pray that you'll give me the words to say and give us the hearts to change, to be more like your Son and appreciate our good shepherd more and more each day. In his name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're just going to go through these verses that I went over, starting with verse 1 and go through, and then I'm going to focus on one certain phrase in these verses. Back at verse 1, "Most assuredly I say to you, who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." Okay, so in the way I understand it, in the Far East, they would go out and take the sheep out. There's a book that my mother-in-law really enjoyed. It's from Philip Keller, A Shepherd Looks at the Psalm 23. So a lot of these ideas and things I got from him. He was a shepherd, and he went through this and wrote a book. I would highly recommend it. But from that book, I was learning that when they take the sheep out, and then at night they'll have this pen, and then they'll have a door. So it may be three or four or more shepherds bringing their sheep in for the night, and there's someone there at the door to let them in and out. So you have to go into the door, through the door, in order to be in that sheepfold, in that pen. If they try to get in another way, jumping over, it could be fences, it could be briars and brambles, whatever they make the pen out of, some of them try to jump in the other way and to get the sheep. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So it's going to be a little bit in the next section. We'll see who the door is and what the door stands for. "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." This was a beautiful picture to me. So you've got all these sheep in there, maybe, I don't know, hundreds of sheep. And I don't know about you, but when you look from, at least from a distance, one sheep looks just like another. But when this shepherd comes in, he knows them so well, they know him so well, that you've got these, let's say you got 100 sheep, and let's say there's 20 of them that are his. When that shepherd goes in and calls to those sheep, they follow him right out of the sheepfold, right out of the gate. They know their shepherd, and the sheep know the shepherd, and the shepherd know the sheep. So I thought it was a beautiful illustration of how, to me, I wouldn't know which one's which, but the shepherd knows his sheep, and they know him, and they follow him out. In the West, I think, and maybe in our country, they have what they call sheep dogs, where they kind of run the sheep around. In the Middle East, and we were able to see them when we went to Israel, the shepherds walk and the sheep follow them. And it's just a picture of the Christian life, that we are to follow the good shepherd. He doesn't take dogs after us and whip us and make us do things, but he leads, and then we are to follow him. "For they know his voice." Verse 5, "Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." I believe here, probably they're talking about, we saw in chapter 9 at the end of the chapter that he's talking to the scribes and Pharisees here, and they will by no means follow a stranger. So the true believers, his true sheep, they're not going to be swayed by the Pharisees here that are calling him a demon, but they're going to follow the true shepherd. They're going to follow Christ. So they're not going to follow this stranger. They're going to flee from them, for they do not know the voice of strangers. They're going to follow the true shepherd. In verse 6, Jesus used this illustration, "But they did not understand the things which he spoke." We know that this, a lot of times, that because of the hardness of the hearts, they didn't understand, they didn't perceive what Jesus was saying. So in verse 7, Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." Okay, so now he is developing a little bit more, and he's saying that he is the door. He's the one that goes into the pen. And back then, what they would have is sometimes a shepherd, you would have a pen, and then right here would be the door. And then to keep the sheep in the pen, in the sheepfold, and to keep from wild animals coming in to hurt the sheep or kill the sheep, the shepherd would lay down right there in the door. So he was the door, literally the door, because he was at the place where the sheep would come in and go out, so we'd keep the sheep safe. And then he would keep the animals, the wild animals, out. So Jesus is saying here that he is the door of the sheep. Verse 8, all who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Here he's talking about false prophets, people that came in and claimed that they were maybe the Messiah, but they really weren't. They were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So he's telling them plainly here, I'm the door. The only way to get into this sheepfold is through me. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. He's making it plain to them. They keep on asking, who are you? Are you really the Messiah? And in chapter 10, he's telling them, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The thief here, I believe, is talking about Satan. He just come to kill and destroy people and souls. He doesn't care about the sheep. I'll get into this a little more in a second, but he doesn't care. He just wants to kill, steal, and destroy souls and keep them from getting into heaven, into the sheepfold. But he's come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but there's a lot of things that you can get involved in this world. A lot of things that people try to fill. I believe we have a God-shaped hole in our hearts that only He can fill through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so many millions and millions of people try to fill it with the things of the world. And they just have to have more and more and more. They're never satisfied. But in Jesus Christ, He has came to give us life and have it more abundantly. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. This is where we're going to focus a lot of our time this morning. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So we tell him that he is the good shepherd. He's the one that can bring them into the fold, into the pasture, and he will protect them. And that he says that he's going to be willing to give his life for the sheep. He's talking about that he's in a few, I think it's about 3 months from now, 3 to 6 months from now, he's going to give his life on the cross for the sheep, for us, for those that accept him as Savior. He's going to give up his life. Verse 12, but a hireling is a hired hand, someone that you just hire to do a job for you while you can't be there. Here he may be talking about the religious leaders. They were supposed to be the shepherds, but they were anything but. They weren't really taking care of the sheep like they should. They were in it for themselves. They were like a hireling. He who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. So this is somebody, if you can imagine, somebody that you've, came to take care of your animals, and then something at the house goes wrong, and maybe the cows or the sheep or whatever, what it could be, a bear or something. Instead of you staying there and trying to fight off the bear, you run and all the animals get scattered and killed. This was like the example of the hireling here. They didn't have any true investment into these sheep. They didn't really love them. They didn't really care about them. As soon as something comes up wrong or bad, they just left the sheep. And thank the Lord we have the good shepherd and not a hireling to take care of us. Verse 13, the hireling flees because he is a hireling, does not care about the sheep. Verse 14, he says again, I am the good shepherd. He tells him again, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. So he knows his sheep, and we don't have time to get in this, and it's honestly over my head. Anyway, I would have to get someone else to explain it, but Jesus knew the ones that were his sheep. Okay, he knew the ones that were going to come to him and knew the ones that were not. Okay, we don't know that. We don't know when we go out and witness, we don't know the ones that are going to accept Jesus as their shepherd and the ones that are not. So we're given the great commission to go out and tell everybody. Jesus knows the ones that are going to hear. Okay, so he already knows them. And at this time, he's saying that I know my sheep and am known by my own. You may be saying, well, how do you know if you're a sheep? If you believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you accept him as your Savior to forgive you of your sins, then that's how you know you're a sheep, if you truly accept him as your personal Savior. Verse 15, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So he's saying, just as close as I know my Father in heaven from eternity past, he has that same relationship with his sheep. We look forward to that. Presently, we have eternal life. Even while we're here, he's given us eternal life. And it's going to be, we'll know more when we get to heaven and understand more. But that eternal life starts the day that you accept Jesus as your Savior. So you have eternal life, and he knows us, and he's willing to lay down his life for the sheep. Verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Okay, thankful for this verse. The previous verses, he's talking to the Jews. And then here he's saying, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. That's talking about us, unless there's a Jewish person here. I think most of us are Gentiles. He has other sheep. And we have been grafted in, or we've been brought into this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. There will be one flock and one shepherd. So the Jews that are saved, the Gentiles that are saved, will all come together into one flock, the church. And we have one shepherd, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 17, therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. This may seem obvious, but he's saying again that my Father loves me, and if it could be even more or in a different way, because he is going in obedience to the cross, and he's showing obedience to his Father. So he's saying, my Father loves me because I lay down my life, and he takes it again. Nobody took it from him. He laid it down willingly for you and for me. He laid it down, and then after 3 days, he took it back again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This command I received from my Father. Okay, so he's teaching them this. He said, teaching them, I'm the door. I'm the only way into the sheepfold. He said, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the one that's going to take care of you. I'm the one that loves you. And I'm going to be the one that protects you. The only way to heaven, only way into this sheepfold is through me, not from these liars, thieves, and strangers. I think a lot of the times he was talking about the Pharisees here. So then in verse 19 it says, there was a division among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? So they're saying that he has a demon. But others said, these are not words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? So one of the signs that he showed earlier in chapter 9 was that he healed a blind man, never been done before. So these signs, these miracles, were to prove, to show people who he really was. And many of the Jews, especially the leaders, the Pharisees and the scribes, did not believe, said he had a demon. But there were some that did believe and said, who else can open the eyes of a blind man? Not a demon, but this has got to be someone else. Maybe they didn't understand everything, but a lot of them were divided on who he was. Okay, so what I want to focus on this morning is verse 11 and verse 12, where he says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. So we're going to focus on the good shepherd, and I know most of you probably already know what's coming next, but Psalm 23 tells us what a good shepherd is like. And this is David. David was a shepherd. So when they came to anoint him as king, he was off being a shepherd. They had to go get him. So he knew exactly what he was talking about because he was a shepherd of sheep, and he knew what a good shepherd was. Psalm 23, a psalm of David, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Okay, so I'm going to try to tell some picture stories about, I wanted to make sure I didn't think that I made this up. I'm not a shepherd, so I'm learning. This is a shepherd looks at Psalm 23 by Philip Keller. Okay, so this Philip Keller, he was new into the sheep business, but he was all in. He went in and he did everything he could to have the best pastures. He wanted his sheep to be taken care of. He wanted to have cool waters. He wanted to have everything the sheep needed. But right beside him, right next door, there was his neighbor who was also supposedly a shepherd, didn't care anything about the sheep. He just let them eat all the grass up and run. If you just let sheep run in the same place, from what I've heard, they'll just run ruts in the ground and just tear the ground up. That's why the shepherds move them from place to place, then bring them back. So he just let them gnaw the grass. They said they took the roots right out of the ground, and it was just desolate. The sheep were so skinny and had mud and stuff all over them. The coats were all packed together with mud and everything else. They just looked terrible. And then right here at the fence, these sheep that were not taken care of, they would come over to this fence, and they would look through to the other side to this beautiful, green, lush pasture and wanting to get in over there. They had this desire to get over there, but they didn't have any way in. Their shepherd was the one who didn't care, the hireling or the thief and the robber. He just was there to try to, I guess, kill them for money, but didn't want to put any effort into it. But over here, this true shepherd, he cared and loved his sheep. And it's a picture of how Jesus cares for us. So just to kind of sum that up, the neighbor's farm that was neglected with mostly mud and very little grass, they were weak and starved, riddled with parasites and disease. And how they looked over through the fence at his healthy sheep in green, lush pastures. The difference was the shepherd. The difference was the shepherd. How many people today live out in the world trying to find fulfillment in worldly pleasures, but they are never satisfied? They try to get more and more stuff to fill the hole in their soul that only Jesus Christ can fill. Their shepherd is Satan, and he does not care about them. The people who know Christ as their shepherd are content and happy and filled with the Holy Spirit. Even if they don't have much materially, they are happy because they know their shepherd loves them and will always be with them. So I'm thankful this morning that I have the good shepherd, that he loves me and that he cares for me. And I urge anyone here or anyone out there that's listening that doesn't know the shepherd, the good shepherd, that today will be the day that they accept the good shepherd as their Savior. Okay, the next story, the things that kind of reached out to me. There's hundreds of stories through this book. But this next one that kind of got to me was the nose fly. They had a lot of flies and things that would irritate the sheep. And this is a little bit gross, but the nose flies would go into the sheep, as you guessed it, into their nose and lay the eggs in the nose. They would hatch and turn into larvae, little bitty worms. And they didn't crawl out. They crawl in to the sheep's brain, into wet moisture, and then they just make their home there. And this drives the sheep crazy. Some of the sheep, they said, would just beat their head against the fence, beat it against the ground. Some of them would just try to get any way to try to get some type of relief from this parasite that was in their brain. So it was a terrible disease. And so this is from the part about anointing the sheep's head with oil. What they would do, the shepherd, the good shepherd, not the bad one, but the good shepherd, would put this oil on the head of the sheep to protect it from these flies. These sheep that had these flies, they would just be running around restless. They couldn't get any sleep, couldn't get any rest. But when he put the oil on their head, then they could lay down and rest and in peace. And that's a picture of the Holy Spirit. When we're given that Holy Spirit, and I don't know if y'all have ever heard of he or she really bugs me. So this kind of made it real to me that somebody, maybe their personality doesn't mesh with yours, or they're bugging you, and they're kind of like flies. And how are we supposed to react to them? How are we supposed to react to them? So that's kind of what I want to tell you about here. So the story of the nose fly, explain how the shepherd anoints the sheep's head with oil so the flies will stay away and not bug them. This shows how we accept Christ as our shepherd. He anoints us with the Holy Spirit. And this is how we should treat people maybe that we don't get along with, not to get rid of them, but this is how we should handle it. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So we need to treat them with kindness, long-suffering, peace. And then when someone sees that in you, that fruit of the Spirit, it's not fruits, but fruit. You're supposed to have all of them if you have the Holy Spirit. When they see that alive in your life, then I believe they see make a difference. That makes a difference in their life, and they will want to change and be more like Jesus if they see Jesus in you, the Holy Spirit. We need to be in God's Word, listening and talking to Him through the Holy Spirit, and then the Spirit will help us to react to people in the world in a godly way when they may be bugging us. So just this picture of anointing the head with oil and how we're anointed when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Immediately we have the Holy Spirit living in us. I'm sad to say that sometimes I don't let the Holy Spirit show itself. Sometimes I grieve the Spirit because of the things I think or the things I do, and the Holy Spirit is not flowing out like He should in my life. And that's something that I want to work on and help with, that I will be receptive to the Spirit and let Him work in my life and through my life and draw people to Jesus, to the true shepherd. Okay, this next story is about this sheep, Mrs. Gad. She was in the good pasture. She was in the good pasture. She was over here on this side in the good pasture, but this neighbor had no grass. It was just mud and just filthy. For some reason, she was trying to go over here and she's looking over there. She wanted to go to the bad pasture. She had all this good green stuff, but she wasn't satisfied. She wanted to go over and meddle over here. So this is Miss Gad, who, even though she had everything, she needed the shepherd. She had everything she needed, and the shepherd loved her. She was always trying to get out of the fence. She not only did this herself, but she taught her little lambs to do the same thing, and even some of the other sheep. Finally, the shepherd had to kill the sheep because she was causing problems for the flock. This reminds me of a believer that is living a worldly or a carnal life. He or she has everything he or she needs. The shepherd loves them, but they want to be in the world as well. You've heard of straddling the fence. They may be cut down early so as not to lead the flock astray. They may be, and we've heard about taking in Corinthians, I think it is, where they were taking the Lord's Supper in vain in an unworthy way, and some of them were getting sick and dying. I think this could be the same thing. If we have a group here, and we have one that could be a true believer but is carnal and living in the world, then we know that the elders here, our under-shepherds, are to go to them and to talk to them about that behavior and correct them. And the goal is to restore them, to bring them back in. But if they refuse, then you're to let them go, to let them go and let them, let the world or God work through them out there, or turn them over to Satan, and maybe they'll see that they need to come back in to the fold. So this little sheep, Miss Gad, she looked good. She was strong. He wanted to keep this sheep. But because of her wanting to go out into the other side, and she was leading other lambs and sheep out, he had to cut her down and to kill her. This reminds me, I think I'm going to get to it in a minute, but the ones that the animals and the predators normally get are the ones that are on the outskirts. Like if you got a group of, let's say, 100 sheep in the flock, and you've got these that are real close to you, they normally don't mess with the ones that are close to the shepherd. It's the ones that are kind of on the sidelines looking at the across to the world. They can pick them off and hurt them. So you've got to be careful. So I've got to be careful what I'm saying here. I don't believe that you can lose your salvation. I'm talking about in fellowship here, that he can cause that. And instead of leading people astray, God may cut them down physically so they won't have other people go in the carnal way. All right, the next story that I want to think is about a lot of these places, they don't have water. There's not that many streams and things like that. So what the shepherds would do, I didn't know this, they can live without drinking water for 2 or 3 months if they get the sheep up early in the morning when the dew is still on the grass. And they go out there and they eat that grass with the dew on it. So it's before dawn, they get up early and they go out and eat this grass. And that gives them the water they need from that dew. The good shepherd leads the sheep out to pasture before dawn, when the dew is still on the leaves of the grass. They can go for months without drinking water if they get grass with dew on it. Reminds us to get up early to meet our shepherd and spend time drinking in his word and yielding to his spirit. John 7:37-39 says, "On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.' But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, who those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not given because Jesus was not yet glorified." So he said that he is the living water. If you're thirsty spiritually, the only way to get quenched is through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. He will quench your thirst, not the world. We've already talked about how many ways people try to fill that thirst and that hunger with things of the world, and it never satisfied. Only way you can get satisfied is through Jesus Christ, through His Holy Spirit. So that just reminds me that I need to get up early in the morning, spend time daily reading His Word, talking to Him through His Holy Spirit, praying. And when you do that, when you go out, you'll have that fruit of the Spirit and you can be a better example for our good shepherd. Okay, this next one was a new one to me as well. A cast down sheep. A sheep that has been cast down. A lot of times when you have 100 sheep, we know the story, and there's one lost, the shepherds will look up, and if you see buzzards or vultures, they start running, because they know that there's probably a sheep that's been cast down. Cast down means they can't get up. They've fallen over. It could be the main reasons, or they get too comfortable. The sheep get too comfortable. They see a little indention, and they lean over into the grass, and there's maybe a little hole there, and their weight gets over on one side too much. They can't get up. Another reason is the wool gets too heavy. There's so much wool on them that they can, their legs can't pick themselves back up because they got a bunch of pounds of wool on their back and they can't get up. The third one, and this one is not to anybody in particular, it could mainly to me, they can get too fat where they can't get up. The sheep are just too fat, and once they get down, they're not able to get back up. I was thinking about, have you ever been cast down? Have you ever been, I think about being downcast, like you're upset about something, and emotion, it's not maybe physically you can't get up, but you're so down, your heart's so low, something's happened, somebody's hurt you, somebody said something against you that you're cast down, and it's like you can't go. You just want to stay in the bed. You don't even want to get out and see people because you're hurt so bad. And that's what I think about these sheep that are cast down. And I think it's so cool to think about the shepherd running and to get them back up. And he can't just get them all back up at once. He has to take his time and get them up slowly, rub them. There's something about the oxygen in their stomachs and things, and take his time and get them back up on their feet so they can go about and walk again. And I think about Jesus running to us through his word, through the Holy Spirit. It could be, it's happened to me a bunch. Through people here, when bad things happen to us, and y'all, the Holy Spirit has used y'all to come and encourage us. So I know God does that, and he helps people in that way, because I've been downcast and fallen down and didn't really want to get up, but through the Holy Spirit, y'all have helped me and helped us to want to get back up and to go again. I thought about this person who was really downcast, I believe, and this is the story of Peter when he denied Jesus. This is Luke 22:54-62. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, but Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat together, Peter sat among them, and a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." But he denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "You are also of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you're saying." Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And this is the hardest part for me. And the Lord turned back and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So Peter went out and wept bitterly. So you think about this, you can look at it two different ways. Peter was with Jesus on a lot of special things when the other, maybe Peter, James, and John got to do things that the others did not do. The transfiguration, it was several other things, I think maybe Lazarus that we'll get to. I'm not sure about everything, but they were the three inner circle, and he got to see a lot of things that even the other nine didn't get to see. But when it came down to them, I guess he was thinking about his own safety. He denied him, said, I don't even know him. After he told Jesus, "I'll never, if they kill me, I'll never deny you." And here he is, he denied him three times as Jesus had told him. So I was thinking about, well, what did Jesus do? How did he handle that? Peter denied him three times. And we were talking about it earlier today. I think it was Brother Steve. If it would have been us, we said, well, that's it. I did all this for you, and you've denied me three times in front of this little girl and these other people. I'm through with you. But that's not our shepherd. If you look at John 21:15-17, or just listen, John 21:15-17, Jesus restores Peter. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." So here he's restoring the great shepherd is restoring one of his under-shepherds, I believe, here. Feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. So he said, feed my lambs, now tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. So here he's restoring. He didn't just ban him away and said, I'm done with you. He went out and searched him out and restored him. And I think about us. Think about myself. We make mistakes. And we grieve the Holy Spirit. We hurt the heart of God and hurt the heart of Jesus Christ. But He wants us to be restored. He doesn't want to just cast us out, to be cast down and just leave us wallowing with like a sheep with legs kicking up in the air that can't ever get back up. He comes over and picks us back up, forgives us, asks us, do we love Him? Yes, Lord, we love You. And He gave him here, Peter, He gave him the role of being an under-shepherd for Him, feeding His lambs, tending His sheep, and feeding His sheep. So this was encouragement to me as that Peter made, it seems to us, maybe a big mistake, but the Lord forgave him. And that gives me encouragement when I have made mistakes, that the great shepherd, the good shepherd, forgives me and restores me, puts me back on my feet and says, that's okay, Todd, I forgive you. And then sends me on to do His work. Okay, the next one is probably the sweetest picture that I saw in this, is this shepherd is walking down with it. They have a rod and a staff. The rod is like a short piece of wood about like this. And they say these shepherd boys over there, they cut out their own rod to fit their hand, and they just practice throwing it, and they can hit stuff from a long ways away. And that's for defense. Also, they check the wool. You've heard the saying, you can't pull the wool over his eyes. When the wool gets, you can't really see the skin. So they take this rod and they rub back the wool where you can see the skin to see if the sheep is in good order, if it's doesn't have any disease or anything. And then also sometimes the sheep is getting ready to go over a cliff or something or go into a dangerous place. They can throw it and get the sheep's attention. Hopefully it wouldn't jump off the edge of a cliff, but get in the right way to throw it and keep them away from danger. But here is the staff. The staff was to mainly for security and safety to pull lambs. Like they would start having lambs and it would be in a big group, and maybe a mother would lose her little lamb, and the shepherd would grab that hook and pick up the lamb and move it over to its mother where they would be back together again. But the story here that I want to share with you is the shepherd's walking and the sheep is beside him. And he has his staff in his left hand or right hand, but anyway, he has his staff right here, and that sheep wants to be right beside him, right up against him. And that shepherd with lovingly nudges that staff into the side of that sheep. And as they walk, he's got that staff into the side of the sheep, and that sheep just stays right there beside him. And they said when they see this, it reminds them of their holding hands. The sheep and the shepherd are so close, they have that special relationship that they're holding hands with one another. And that's the kind of sheep that I want to be. I want to be the one that wants to be beside him, and he wants to be beside me. We have that relationship close together and loving each other. I know he loves me. It's my love that's the one that wanes sometimes. All right, so just to kind of sum this up, he's the good shepherd. He's the only way to get to heaven is through him. He's the door. He's the good shepherd. He protects us. He cares for us. He loves us. So I encourage you again, if you don't know the good shepherd, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, today will be the day. I just want to close with this, and you may say this doesn't really go together, and I wasn't sure whether to read it or not, but I thought about the hands of the shepherd when he's going down with his rod and he's checking on that sheep to make sure there's nothing wrong with his skin, doesn't have any disease. How he took his hands and he anointed the head with oil to keep those nose flies out of the sheep. How he had that hand on his staff and he was right there walking with that sheep. So that's what made me think of this. And it's called, I know you've heard it before, the touch of the master's hand. And it's not directly talking about sheep, but I think it's related. It's talking about a violin. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "What am I bidding, good folks?" he cried. "Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar, then two. Only two? $2, and who'll make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three. But no, from the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping up the dust from the old violin and tightening the loosened strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as a caroling angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bidding for the old violin?" And he held it up with the bow. $1,000? Who'll make it two? $2,000? Who'll make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going and gone, said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, "We don't quite understand. What changed its worth?" Swiftly came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He is going once and going twice. He's going almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the touch. We thank you that we heard earlier that you called and we heard you. We're thankful that we heard you call us. I remember that day when I was 12 years old, you called me out and I heard you, and you were patient and long-suffering and kind to me and waited until I was through with myself and ready to make that step and follow the good shepherd. I just thank you for loving me and being patient with me. I pray now that you'll help me to draw close to that shepherd every morning, that I'll eat from the dew early in the morning, and that I'll have that fruit of the Spirit that will bring people to you, that they'll see that good shepherd in me through his Holy Spirit, and they'll be drawn to that. I pray that you'll help me and help all of us to be more like that good shepherd. We just thank you that he was willing to give his life for the sheep, that he was willing to give everything on the cross of Calvary so that we could come into the sheepfold, we could be with you forever in heaven. We just praise you and thank you for the great good shepherd, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.